It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right. Oh, I don't know about you. I'm a little tired. It is Sunday night. What is this, the 5th of February already? Shit. Got to get my ass going and buy a Valentine's Day gift. We're only 9 days away from that. This is the Sit Down with yours truly, Don Tony. I want to thank you for joining me. I want to thank everybody, as always, for your support. For those that are regulars to the show, welcome, as always. For those that are new, basically what we do on Sunday nights is simple. It's the lazy episode, as some of you like to call it. I show up with a blank piece of paper, and you dictate what we talk about for the next hour. Anything, WWE, AEW, non-wrestling, whatever is on your mind. You have to be in a live chat, at minimum, you know, in order to participate, because I have not learned that ability to read minds. So I can't. Disgusting. Mike, I know it's on your mind, Mike. I can't read minds yet. Super chats are never required, but always appreciated. You will always get VIP priority treatment. You go right to the front of the line. Now, little cheap plug, if you're not aware of it already. Earlier today, I posted the podcast Forbidden Door number 4 with Misha Montana. As most of you know her as the girlfriend of Matt Riddle. And I know there was a little bit of controversy today. Oh, my God. I never realized that because Matt Riddle got a mustache and he's got a little bit of a grill because that's a California thing, that suddenly, oh, you know, he looks like he's on drugs. He looks like he parties too much. I tell you, you know, it's funny because for those that are already tuned into my discussion with Misha, what we talked about as far as social media today is a beautiful but sad example of exactly what we were talking about. Very good discussion. Now, I do want to say something because you know me. You know, I'm not perfect. I'll never be perfect. I won't even come close to it. But I am very, very stickly as far as detail. Little things annoy me. And I want to apologize for anyone for the... No, I was not panting. I know she's a beautiful adult film star, but that's not why you heard my breathing. No bullshit, all right? Technical stuff. Right before we recorded the episode, our discussion, we had some audio problems, and her audio was choppy whenever I talked. And I know what the setting was. The problem is I wasn't going to make her sit an hour while I start resetting a whole bunch of codecs. So what I did was the quick lazy route, and I disabled my noise gate. So as a result, you heard a little bit of my breathing as I was talking, and I apologize for that. But it did not take away from the discussion that we had. You know, some of you out there absolutely loved it. Some of you were very surprised, you know, how she came across. What you see is what you get. You know, I've been talking to her for a good month, and we've had hours of conversation outside of all of this. And, you know, she's the real deal. You know, you could tell when someone is just trying to push a certain narrative, but, you know, she is the real deal, and I'm glad that it came across in our discussion. You know, I know some of you had some complaints. Oh, you didn't talk about why he was suspended. You know, that's personal shit, man. You know, I'm not going to put it out there just because people's juices need to be titillated. Some of you wanted to know, what do they like to do in their free time and stuff like that, and that's fine. But this was not an interview. This was a conversation about some very important topics. No reason why I can't bring her back again, and maybe we'll do a Q&A, you know, and then any little things you want to know. But understand, too, that even though they are personal public figures, you know, entertainers, they do have private lives as well. And I don't do interviews. I think you know that now after 26 years. And I have a very, very deep respect factor for anybody that I intertwine with, especially if that person shows respect back. And I didn't want to push it, and I didn't want to get into anything that was too personal. You know, so I basically, you feel the vibe, you feel the room, and I had to make judgment calls on the fly, like, do we talk about this? Do we talk about that? Do we talk about attached? Do we talk about this? So, you know, I think overall, you know, everybody, the goal was is so you get an idea of who she is and what she's about and a lot of the stuff that's going on. So, you know, it was good. I had a lot of fun, and, you know, we're going to keep in touch. And no, I'm still not telling you when Matt Riddle's going to return. I will say this without giving anything away. It's very soon. Very, very soon. And, you know, let's get right into this show because I saw some of you send super chats in before I go live so I could, you know, get yours done first. And this opening one has to do with Matt Riddle himself, Sticky Fingers Frank. For the 10 spot. Thank you very much for the $10 super chat, my friend. DT, I know you can't reveal when Matt will be back on TV, but how do I think he will be brought back? Is there any chance he could return with Randy Orton as RK-Bro? Now, for those that might be interested, on social media, there's a couple of photos floating around of Randy Orton hanging out at some warehouse. Some people think it's Amazon. I don't care where it is. He looks great. He looks happy. His biceps look bigger than ever, so that man is, you know, definitely jacked up even more. The thing is, you know, the back issues were very serious, and we cannot pinpoint exactly when he will return. If he does return, you know, I am just going on guessing right now, maybe after WrestleMania, maybe the night after WrestleMania. You know, the thing is that the course of WrestleMania has been set. You know who Roman Reigns is going to ultimately be facing. You know who the Usos are ultimately going to be facing. If we have Raw or SmackDown, probably Raw, tag team champions change. You know, prior to WrestleMania, a Raw tag team champion will be facing a different tag team. The Usos may not have both belts by the time WrestleMania comes around. And I don't think that's going to be a big deal. And as we talked about before, I think, you know, keeping the undisputed unified championships, if you keep that around Roman Reigns solely into Mania, I think that's fine. You know, so no, I don't see Riddle returning with Randy Orton at the same time as RK-Bro. Could they reunite as RK-Bro in the future? Sure, why not? If Randy Orton has to, you know, pull back, even if he returns, having a tag team partner is great. You take a lot of the workload off of Randy. So absolutely you could see that happen. But I will tell you that, and I know we don't talk about wrestling storylines, people that I engage with in real life, but I will say this. I truly believe that when Riddle returns, Matt Riddle returns, he will have a match against Solo Sikoa. I think it intertwines with the Elimination Chamber. You know, what? Something that a lot of people, I know this is going to sound stupid, but something that a lot of people haven't put together, two and two. Yes, Roman Reigns is taking on Sami Zayn, at Elimination Chamber. You'd be surprised how many people think it's going to be inside an Elimination Chamber, which I know what you're going to say, that is moronically stupid because there's five chambers, not only two. I get it. So people don't realize or not thinking that it's a one-on-one match with disqualifications in play. So I think Solo Sikoa is going to get involved. Would not be surprised if Matt Riddle were to show up at Elimination Chamber and negate Solo Sikoa, and that leads to their match at WrestleMania. That's where I think they're going with it. You know, me, I'd rather be surprised. Now, I will tell you that I know what the target date is for Matt Riddle's return to TV. And, you know, I don't like teasing. I'm not doing clickbait. I'm not doing any of this. But I will tell you this, at least, that his return is very, very soon. Very, very soon. And sooner than people realize. Is it Monday? No. Unless something dramatically changes last second, it's not going to be Monday. Monday is going to be focused more around Bayley and Becky Lynch, making up for what happened at Raw 30. You got the last spot in the Elimination Chamber on the women's side. We got a few things going down, and they're going to focus on that. But next week, the week after, possible. Definitely possible. But I think when he returns, it's to go after Solo Sikoa. And that is a very interesting match because Solo Sikoa, you know, technically, isn't that guy like undefeated in singles since he's been on the main roster? I don't recall him losing. I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, but still, his record on the main roster is extremely impressive. And I think that's probably the match we're going to go with WrestleMania. No, I'm not giving scoops. You know, look, I didn't even like circulate the discussion. I don't like calling it an interview. It's not an interview. It's a conversation. I didn't even circulate it. I didn't even ask websites, hey, could you plug this? If people want to pass it around, go right ahead. You know, there's a lot of information that came out of there that I think some people could use. But you know how it is out there. You know, people just want all the focus on themselves. They don't want it on others. So I don't expect anyone else out there to really pick up on, you know, what we said in our discussion and everything. And that's fine. That's perfectly fine. But getting back to, you know, Matt Riddle's return, I think he goes right at it with Solo Sikoa. It's an easy way to get Solo Sikoa a match at WrestleMania. Matt Riddle, you know, making his return. It's not even an Acme Insta feud because Solo Sikoa is the one that put him on the shelf. But I will tell you this. He's in a much better place. Very happy. You know, there was a lot of mental health involved as far as why he was off. I'm going to leave. I'll just say that. Is it the sole reason why he was off TV? No. Not in the least. But the mental health aspect and a lot of issues going on were very, very big. And, you know, it's if you look at Jey Uso and some of his issues, you know, you see, and even Jimmy Uso, but you see the issues outside of pro wrestling, you know, you get to a point where it's not your breaking point, but it's your final wake-up call that, man, I can't blow this. I can't blow this again. You know, and you see people's lives turned around. You look at Buff Bagwell. You look at others. You know, some people will just go on social media, smile for the camera, and lie to everybody's face that, you know, this has changed and this has improved. But some people, you know, you never know where that wake-up call is. And it appears that it happened for Matt Riddle. I wish him nothing but the best. You know, that's all I have to say with that. So, all right. Thank you, Chris Cutterer, for the 1999 great interview with Misha. Porn is probably the most misunderstood form of entertainment. There are so many preconceived notions that it's cool hearing from someone involved in it. Listen, I'm going to be straight up. You know, I felt awkward telling my wife that I was going to be interviewing her. But my wife knows that, you know, I have no interest in checking out her resume in the adult film world. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, this was a conversation about what's going on, about a relationship, about the stereotypes, you know, that she goes through and battles and everything else. And what we wanted to come out of this is hopefully some people out there are going through similar. I was surprised how many of you out there who have suffered strokes. I mean, that blew me away. I've gotten at least I think 7. And that may not sound like a whole lot, but I've gotten at least 7 in the last 7 to 10 days. Different people telling me that, man, I suffered a stroke and, you know, seeing what she's going through, man, I know what she's talking about and this and that and having memory loss and, you know, bouts of depression. Let me tell you something. You know, Adam Cole's interview with Dave Meltzer, you may not like Dave Meltzer, but that is a very, very powerful interview. I'm going to talk about it more on Wednesday, but, you know, the concussion, it's not just the concussion, it's the depression that comes with it and the possibility that your pro wrestling career is over. And you could just be sitting and just out of nowhere just have these extreme bouts of crying and not even know why you're crying, but you just lose it. So we wanted this to be where even girls, you know, there's a lot of people that we socialize online that have OnlyFans pages. And half of them we don't even know. But, you know, a lot of people are not prepared of, you know, your body, you know, being cut and pasted and circulated all across different elements of social media and then family members find out about it. And there is a lot of tragedy. you know, with accounts like that. And she speaks to people. And we wanted this to come out of is you get to know her a little bit, but also understand that, like you said, you know, there's a lot of, you know, stereotypes. And we had the conversation about it. I think the typical stereotype is sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I mean, that's something I heard since I was a kid in the 70s when it came to the Rolling Stones and other bands, you know, Led Zeppelin, anybody that partied, you know, is sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know, Iron Maiden, you could keep just going on and on and on with the people. Tommy Lee, his group, whatever, I can't remember right now. But so, yeah, there's a lot of misconceptions, you know, and it's a shame because you see even people today doing it. But thank you, Chris, for that. I really appreciate it. All right, if you're going to post a question in the live chat, all I ask is that you write in capital letters the word question before it so I could spot it quicker. If I do answer it or acknowledge it, wait a few minutes before posting another one so we could spread it around. If you just have a comment that you want me to share with everyone, just write in capital letters the word comment. And we don't deal with trolls and spamming. You know, I could take a little criticism, but if anybody's trying to be a star out there, just go to another channel because you'll probably get muted like that. All right. Joe with a question. In my mind, Matt Riddle's stock goes up just for being with an adult film star. Do I think that rings true for others? No. I mean, it's interesting because I know her a little bit more now. You know, you realize that the stereotype, you know, that because someone is in that industry, you know, they might get an easier chance to score or, you know, sex must be amazing and this and that. But, you know, you realize that it's a human being just like anyone else. You know, me, I don't even want to look in the mirror by myself in the bathroom naked. You know, there ain't no way I'm going in front of any camera, not even for home movies. But, yeah, I think some people, because of the stereotype, they look at it that way. You know, I think because he was involved with a few women over the last year or two that were in the adult film industry, that might be like, you know, what he likes. And that's fine. You know, some people love, you know, a woman or a man, you know, that are very athletic, that might be in government, that might be in politics, that might be this or might be that. You know, to each his own. But what you realize, I think, coming out of our discussion is that just because three or four different women are in the adult film industry doesn't mean that they all, you know, march to the beat of the same drum. Everybody is different, extremely different. And, you know, as I said in the discussion, let me tell you something. You know, it's not easy for me to say that to her. You know, I mean, look, she's in a much better situation than I am. But, you know, when I say, like, look, you know, it's a lot more harder for somebody in the adult film industry to find a good relationship with someone who's not in that industry. Because me, I couldn't date someone who was an adult film star. You know, just the idea that, you know, my significant other is, you know, sleeping with other men or women, you know, I wouldn't be able to deal with that. You know, so when you are in that industry, you know, you go on eHarmony, you know, you might be able to do it on Tinder, but if you go on eHarmony or any of these serious relationship sites and you put that down there, probably 95% of the people out there will just ignore your profile. And maybe of the other 5% remaining, maybe 3% might still be interested. And the other two probably think, hey, I'll just get laid. You know, I'll just answer it. Maybe I'll get laid and, you know, it'll be an unbelievable experience that I could tell my friends, hey, I banged a porn star. You know, but at the end of the day, I think it's a lot harder. And I think that's why some of these women fell so freaking hard for this guy. I mean, you have no idea. I wish I could share some of the bullshit, some of the conversations, the screenshots that I've seen. It is wild. It is freaking wild. And, you know, it is what it is. Rojo Bear with the two spot. My friend, you just gave me two so I could give you 50 back. You won the YouTube Royal Rumble predictions contest. You got to reach out to me, Twitter or email. I know your profile. So if anyone else contacts me and says, yeah, I'm Rojo Bear, I know who Rojo Bear is. get in touch with me so I can send you 50. You get Amazon e-gift card, PayPal 50, WWE e-gift card, AEW e-gift card, whatever you want. 50 is yours. So much love, my friend. Much love. NXT was lit last night. Yes. Listen, E7 Guru 316. And thank you for the two spot earlier, my friend. I was going to do a full-blown Vengeance Day recap tonight. Not going to lie to you. I changed my mind. And the reason why I changed my mind is because this many people gave a shit about the predictions the other day. Not going to lie to you. I mean, I look at analytics and I look at the timestamp when we first started doing predictions and almost nobody was interested in it. And, you know, the funny thing is, yesterday they put on a banger. They were in Charlotte. It wasn't just a performance center, but I see a repeated comment over and over again that really annoys me. And what that repeated comment is, wow, if NXT continues touring, I'll watch on Tuesdays. And I'm like, what fucking shallow attitude is that? Because it's at the performance center, you won't watch? You want them to tour on a regular basis where they got to amp it up a notch because ticket prices are expensive, because you have bigger buildings, because there's bigger expenses involved? You know what ends up happening? WWE makes the same mistake they did in 2020. They make the same mistake. They have, you know, people in a position where there's a lot more added pressure that they should not be in. That's why the developmental the last year and a half has been great. They're developmental. Look at Katana Chance and Caden Carter. They lost the titles yesterday. And there's more to the storyline, you know, with Fallon Henley and Kiana James. Fallon Henley is going to realize that Kiana James cheated at the very end of the match, and you'll see something on NXT Tuesday, and, you know, Kiana will be like, come on, we won the titles. So, listen, there's more to this story. But, you know, we've talked about Katana Chance more than anything else. You know, how she has improved, especially over the last year, is incredible. And now people want to see them go to the main roster. This is what we've been talking about for over a year and a half. You do not change this. Yeah, once in a while you go out of the performance center. You want these wrestlers to have a taste of what it's like to be the focal point, not just the dark match before a SmackDown or a Raw. So yesterday is necessary, but it should not be the norm. You duplicate the mistakes. And you don't need AEW on a Tuesday night, you know, to have the same mistakes. No, don't add the fucking pressure. You see so many names that are putting it together. And there, you don't want that added pressure. No, 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 no. But unfortunately, a lot of people really were not interested in predictions, post-show review. Last night was a great card. Wesley and Dijak. I mean, it really wasn't a bad match. Everything with Toxic Attraction we expected to happen, happened. As we've been saying for a while, the fans want Gigi Dolin as the next singles star, you know, coming out of a tag team. And you could see that last night. I kind of felt bad for JC Jane at times, but JC Jane will be fine. She will be fine. I'm telling you. There's a lot more diversity of what you could do with JC Jane's character compared to Gigi Dolin. But Gigi Dolin, you could see those fans. You got that connection with the fans. And believe me, it's not just about her ass or about her colored hair or about, you know, how beautiful she is. You know, there's more than that. And once you have that connection with the fans, man, now all you got to do is just keep your end of the bargain. Keep working hard and do your job. But, and as we knew all along, Carmelo Hayes not only wins last night, dominates, and right after Bron Breakker retains over Grayson Waller, Carmelo Hayes right out there. There's your Mania weekend match. Carmelo Hayes is likely going to be the next champion. Bron Breakker then goes to the main roster, which is absolutely needed because we've talked about it, and I know it's a topic that a lot of people don't like hearing. Bron Breakker's ratings in NXT have not been impressive. I think Bron Breakker has hit a plateau in NXT. There is no 3, 4, 5 big names, even on an NXT level, that are just waiting in the wings for him to feud with. He's done it, and it's time. He drops it to Carmelo Hayes a year from now, maybe even less. Carmelo Hayes is the next one up as far as major stars. And Grayson Waller yesterday. Grayson Waller, you know, he might be on the short, you know, road to going to the main roster. But after the match was over, they did a little thing with Shawn Michaels, you know. And listen, a lot of people think that it was a shoot. That just shows you how good Grayson Waller is doing what he's doing. The fight that he had at the Performance Center with Bron Breakker a couple of weeks ago, a lot of people thought that that was legit, straight up, no storyline. The guy is so good at what he does. And early on in his NXT run, I never in a million years ever thought I would buy into Grayson Waller like I have. That guy is in my top three of my favorites in NXT. Roxanne Perez doing a great job. Look, even Gallus yesterday. I'm not a fan of Gallus, only because I haven't clicked with them yet. They give me Viking Raiders vibes, but everybody in that match turned it up. Everybody. Andre Chase, you know, I was shocked at how good, and it's not saying he wasn't good, but everybody stepped up. Everybody stepped up. Duke Hudson, I even, you know, got into yesterday. Everybody stepped up. And it was a little surprising that Gallus won the titles. But, you know, it was just from beginning to end a very solid event. If y'all didn't see it, if you have some free time and you want to check out some fun, you know, performances, go check it out. And by the way, Dijak, his middle finger, I don't have the picture here, but he dislocated his middle finger. It just, it looks like, I can't even like simulate it because my fingers, you know, it's pointing the other way. It's just, it looked like a horrible injury. Think Sid Vicious with his leg. Remember when he broke his leg and, you know, his ankle and chin were pointing one way and his leg was pointing the other? That's what happened with his finger. Very, very lucky that his bone didn't start protruding through. But, you know, hopefully it's not as bad as it looked. But, yeah, you got a little impromptu recap from yesterday. So, Michael Gonzalez, I really feel bad. But I'd have to pull research and get a refresher on that. He's asking me my top three Elimination Chamber matches of all time. I'd have to listen, Eric Bischoff was in WWE in the early 2000s. And they announced Elimination Chamber, what, a little over 15 years ago? I have to go through 15-plus years of Elimination Chamber matches to really, you know, there's no way I could give you a top three right now without seeing them in advance. But, you know, I will be more than happy to answer that next week for you. Absolutely. You know, one of my least favorite I'll tell you one moment, just random, that I really liked, that I did not expect to really like, and one that I absolutely hated. And it's funny because they kind of interacted with each other. I'll never forget when Santino Marella, and I was never a big fan of the Cobra shit, seriously, but Santino Marella, remember that moment in the Elimination Chamber where he just hit momentum and the crowd was losing their shit, and even me at home, I was like, oh my God, this guy could actually win it. And I actually, for a few moments, was fine with it. That moment for him was probably the highlight of his career, even though no one would ever admit that. That moment in the chamber was tremendous. And that's always a highlight for me. My probably least favorite moment of the chamber, I'll never forget it. And for some reason, my finger is just bleeding profusely. I didn't do anything. It just literally just started bleeding. You could probably see it. That's weird. I'm bleeding. Oh, you're bleeding. You're bleeding. Hulk, you're bleeding. Isn't today the anniversary of Andre the Giant beating Hulk Hogan? The both Hepners showing up. How much did the plastic surgery cost? 33 million people that night watched wrestling on NBC. 33 million. That's mind-boggling. Sure, no social media, no internet. You know, very, very few channels for most people. But still, 33 million fans decided, or just 33 million viewers just decided that night, hey, I'm going to watch some pro wrestling. That's crazy. But my least favorite moment that comes to mind, Vladimir Kozlov. I remember he was feuding with Triple H. And I remember that night venting on it. He was feuding with Triple H at the time. And he got eliminated in the Elimination Chamber. And, you know, their feud was pretty intense. And when he got eliminated, he walked across the ring to exit the chamber. And he walked right past Triple H. And it looked so ridiculously bad on TV. It's like, know your surroundings. Know your where you are. That motherfucker you're in a hot, deep feud with. And you walk past him like, oh, excuse me. You almost like, excuse me, pardon me. Like, you just try. It was, I would have fired him on the spot. Seriously. I know it sounds kind of extreme, but I remember that night seeing that, and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? You know, have some presence. Have the wherewithal. You're in a bitter, deep feud. You fucking go to the opposite side, or you try to kick him or something on the way out. You just walk by like, hey, how you doing? Hey, you want to go for coffee after? So, Jonathan Mitchell, hey, Don, is WWE shut down forever? Yes or no? If you're saying, will they shut down if they're sold? No. Why would anybody spend billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars just to shut it down? I know Vince in 2001 bought WCW. I'm going to put it on a shelf. You know, I mean, that's different. You know, and plus, you see how much they paid for it. It's a couple of million dollars. Think about that. They paid, what, less than, what, $10 million for WCW? And to think that WWE might be sold for hundreds, thousands of value more. Yes, money value is different now compared to 01, but that's pretty amazing when you see it. No. They're not going to shut down for good, but, you know, there could be some major issues. I personally think, this is my honest opinion, whether it's Comcast or any other entity out there that buys WWE, if a sale goes through, you know, people need to understand something. This is very important. They have to negotiate new media rights. If WWE is not sold, and listen, this is, not even news. This is just a fact. This is an absolute fact. If WWE is not sold by a certain date, they will pull the sale off the table because you have to now start negotiating future TV for Raw and SmackDown. And that negotiations is not an hour or 2 or 3 days based on these morons from a month ago. So, once it gets to a certain time, summertime maybe, once it gets to a certain time, if there's no sale done, they have to pull back because they have to negotiate a new TV deal. And as I said before, you're not going to negotiate with, you know, Disney and then sell the Comcast. Just like the AEW stuff, I will keep saying it to embarrass people out there who are intentionally lying to all of you out there. AEW, even if they had the money, would not buy WWE, especially if WWE renews deals with Fox and the USA Network, because there's no way that WarnerMedia is going to allow or accept AEW owning their competitor and having that competitor on a different TV network. Now, if AEW were to buy WWE and then they went on WarnerMedia's networks, that's fine. But that ain't happening. But just imagine that. Imagine, you know, WWE does a new deal with Fox and NBC, or Fox and USA Network, and everything is good until 2027. And then AEW buys WWE. And then they go back to WarnerMedia and say, listen, you know, we're going to put Raw and SmackDown. We're going to keep it on Fox and USA Network. You know, you think they'd be fine with that? It's so complicated. It's so complicated, but it's so easy to understand. Shout out to Chaos. Yeah, I'm a little kind of tired tonight. I'm glad we're live having some fun discussion. Easy discussion. That doesn't require too many brain cells tonight. You know, it's been a lot of shows lately, but we're trimming down the time. So, you know, nobody is on overload. And, you know, so far, so good. Very, very happy with it. Okay. Here's another question from SoFly. What would I do to help Tony D'Angelo feel like he's losing momentum rapidly? Well, the problem with Tony D'Angelo was the shelf life for his character. And the problem is, with all due respect, WWE does not have, you know, creative members, especially in NXT, who really understand more about the Italian things and everything like that. Remember his feud with Santos Escobar? And they agreed to have a sit-down, and they're sitting on a boat. And, you know, it's just like there's like so many scenarios that if you're really feuding, and of course, we're not going to see murder or attempted murder on television, but there's certain skits that you have to prevent and avoid. You know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to that. Hey, you know, Stacks, you know, get Santos on the phone. I've had it. Let's have a sit down. It was just goofy. And then they're sitting outside. And remember in the background, it looked like the stage of the Muppet Show? Hey, it's the Muppet Show. Yay! It was, they have hit plateau because they don't know what else to do with the character. You know, oh, Stacks, you know, you're a made guy. You know, we're on the bridge. I ain't going to throw you off. I'm going to promote you. Promote you to what? There's no other family. Do you see 4, 5, 6, 10 people? You know, hey, I'm promoting you. Promoting me over who? Who did Stacks get promoted over? You know, it's just they've hit a plateau because they don't know what the fuck to do with the character now. Now they're trying to make him a little bit of a baby face so he could feud with some wrestlers that he hasn't feuded with yet. There's a little bit of a problem with Tony D'Angelo. They have hit a plateau with his character. And honestly, I don't know how you get out of it. I don't know how you get out of it. And you can't just keep him and Stacks as a 1-2 and no one else if you're going to do this Don thing, with all due respect. You know, so that's, you know, let's see where it goes. Maybe they add a couple of members. Maybe they don't. But something is going to have to change. And Tony D'Angelo, you know, he's very talented. He has picked up wrestling very, very well. A lot of people still don't realize that he had literally no pro wrestling background before. So there isn't a rush, but again, you look at WWE, you know, like, hey, 6 months, a year, 2 years, you know, after 6 months, they do a reevaluation. And if they feel that you're really not developing, they will let you go. They won't even think twice about it. Now, they haven't let him go, and I wouldn't let him go. Tony D'Angelo's great, but there's deeper issues there. And, you know, people see right through it. All right. Let's see. Rocky Red, which decade was my favorite Terry Funk decade? 80s, 90s, or 2000s? Probably 90s. And the only reason why I'm even saying that is because his feud with Ric Flair was 1989. So it was approaching 1990. But for me, you know, his NWA stuff, his feud with Flair, the ECW stuff, Japan, you know, even when he went to WWF, the Chainsaw Charlie thing was, you know, a little ridiculous, but I didn't care. It was Terry Funk. I'm like, fine, he's on my TV. That's all I care about. I enjoyed later on in the 2000s because I got to meet him many, many times in the 2000s. I got to work with him. You know, I got to see him face Lowlife Louie in Connecticut. You know, I mean, there's a lot of fond memories for me up close with Terry Funk in the 2000s. But as far as a wrestling fan goes, the 90s is probably my favorite of Funk. And the funny thing is, I loved his stuff in the 70s. I loved his stuff in the 80s. You know, but the 90s for me was a little bit different, so. Danny is asking me a personal question. Am I happier in life these days? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I got health issues. My family has health issues. They're up there in age. You really can't take for granted tomorrow because tomorrow somebody may not be there. And believe me, that hits home more than you realize. We just buried my uncle a couple of months ago. And, but I am happier. There's no question. Anybody's been following me for a long time. My biggest problem on the shows was addressing the goofs, addressing the haters, addressing the people that smile to my face and stab me in the back and this and that. I mean, I always would address the outside, you know, the backstabbers, the haters, the people who claim to be my friends. But I got to a point, like maybe like a year ago, where I really had to reflect and say, man, I got to get rid of all the negativity in my life. It's not just this stuff. It's my personal life as well. It's people I deal with outside. It's people in my inner circle. It's friends that I know since childhood. It's certain customers. It's certain things with work. I have decided to try to just enjoy myself as much as possible. If I can make somebody smile each day, at least one person each day, I feel like I did my job, you know. And it's cool, man. It's cool. You know, I know, and without naming names, over the last 2 weeks, especially for people in wrestling, you know, I know we were responsible for putting some smiles on people's faces out there. And, you know, a lot of times it's been kept private. And some of you out there know some of the people I'm talking about. And I just try to enjoy. You know, look, we criticize. Absolutely. There's a lot to criticize about wrestling. There's a lot to complain about still in wrestling. We don't just sit here and go, oh, my God, Rampage was amazing. Oh, my God, NXT was epic, unbelievable. Look, I have goosebumps. This is real. You know, no, there's a lot to criticize about. You know, there's a lot of things I'm concerned about if WWE is sold. But overall, I just got rid of all the negativity, all the hate, all the complaining, all the whining, all the backstabbing, all the jealousy, you know, whether it's here or personal life, I just eliminated it all. And I noticed that the more positive that I approach things, the more positive vibes I get back. And I know it sounds ridiculous, but even what Misha said in that conversation, the compliment she gave me, and I'm not going to replay it here, but you watch it, you see what I'm talking about. I was like, whoa, man. You know, like, I know I told you all a couple of weeks ago that she reached out to me because I'm one of the few people that looked at everything straight up and didn't, like, take certain narratives for clickbait. But, you know, there was more about that as well. And I was like, man, that's pretty cool, you know. And I get that on personal messages from people that I respect, people that I never knew tuned into my shit, people who are on TV, people Hall of Famers, you know, people that, you know, I never even had a conversation with in the past, and you just get a random thing, you know, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. So I feel like I'm doing something right. And I don't need to change anything because you're just seeing me. You're just seeing me. And that's why also why it was so important for me to go video. You know, it was so important because I always felt that if you see me, you see my face, you could tell when someone is lying to you. You could tell when someone is talking shit. And, you know, having that additional extension and having fun and laughing and seeing me laughing, yeah, I could poke fun at myself. Yeah, I think that was all very, very important. So never going to be the most viewed or downloaded show, you know, even though, you know, at one point we were, but that's fine with me. That's fine with me because at the end of the day, I know that a lot of you out there, when the show is over, you had a good time. And I don't want you to have a good time by just yelling and cursing and screaming the whole night. Fuck this. Fuck this. Fuck WWE. Fuck this. Fuck this. The hell with this. This is awful. Fuck this. This is bullshit. Tony Khan, what the fuck? Fuck this. This sucks. That match was good, but that sucks. I don't want to be that. Not interested. No more. Batch 8 gave up on finding a partner, and it was the best thing he ever did. Let me tell you something. You meet someone you least expect it. I don't want to get into too personal stuff, everyone, but you meet people when you least expect it. You know, when I met my ex-wife in the mid-90s, we got the marriage annulled, so officially it's never happened. It never happened. I was in a wheelchair, bedridden from a car accident. I just, out of loneliness, called one of my ex-girlfriends. And she wasn't home. Her sister was there. And her sister, I was talking to her. I'm like, hey, you know, how's Kristen? Oh, she's doing good. She's doing good. She's at work right now and this and that. Oh, what happened to you? Oh, I fucked myself up. I had a really bad car accident. Oh, really? 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 Oh, my son is crying. Talk to my friend for a minute. That's what happened. She put somebody on the phone who I never talked to before. I ended up marrying her. Biggest mistake I ever did. I got it annulled. But how wild is that? How crazy is that? And me being the Italian I was, when we finally, after a couple of weeks of talking, and she drove all the way down from Long Island to see me at my house, I didn't say to her that I was stuck in a wheelchair. So when it came time, I fucking took a cane, and I just like, just like, look, just picture Beth Phoenix's face before she attacked Rhea Ripley. I just grimaced and she's like, are you all right? Yeah. I just got a cramp. But I just forced myself out of the wheelchair, you know, because I broke my hip. I shattered my pelvis. But, you know, having a relationship makes you sometimes superhuman, and it may not be good. But, yeah, when you least expect it, even my wife, you know, we met by chance. I'm not going to talk about the story here. It's too long. But I ignored her a couple of times. And it got to the point where, you know, she's like, you know, you could at least just, you know, say hi or something like that. And I was like, felt bad. And next thing you know, I'm still with her now, almost 11 years. So, all right. Mark Briscoe is a great wrestler. Has tons of energy. Someone wrote earlier, do we think we see Mark Briscoe again in AEW in 2023? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. There's a lot of you out there who believe, and, you know, this is interesting. It's very interesting. It's definitely something you got to keep in the back of your mind. But I don't think this is going to happen. A lot of people think that Warner Media still didn't buy into Jay Briscoe. God rest his soul. Didn't buy in. They just were under so much scrutiny. And because there were so many positive articles being written online, it made Warner Media look like the devil. And Warner Media, a lot of people feel like Warner Media caved in and said, okay, you have your tribute night, and that's it. And there's a lot of people in the back of their mind think Mark Briscoe is not going to be back on AEW TV, period. And as time goes by, if Mark Briscoe is not back on AEW television, and please do not say to me, oh, well, there's no storyline right now. That don't mean shit. You fucking advertise next week. Oh, surprise, everyone. Mark Briscoe is going to take on Serpentico. People will fucking lose their shit. So don't tell me that you need a storyline in order for him to be on TV. A lot of people think that once this tribute was over with, yeah, you can name drop here and there. But, you know, Warner Media just caved in because of the scrutiny. I don't think so, though. I personally think that Warner Media, they just didn't invest the time to see that they were wrong. And once all the stories started coming out from his community in Delaware, people, you know, just regular everyday folk who are not into wrestling, hearing about all of the things he did on the outside, understand a little more, I think they really realized, wow, we made a mistake about our perception of Jay Briscoe. I truly believe Mark Briscoe will be on AEW television in 2023. I think Warner Media, it was much more than just giving them their tribute night. I think they really realized, like, hey, there's a lot of bad people in this world. Jay Briscoe was not one of them. Certainly not Mark Briscoe either. So I do believe he will be back on TV. They're mourning right now. They're in mourning. I mean, of course, Mark wrestled Jay Lethal to pay tribute to his brother. But, you know, that man, you'll never recover from losing your brother. You just try to learn to live with it. So whatever time he needs to take outside of pro wrestling, you give him. But don't immediately think because he's not on TV for the next couple of weeks that, oh, you know, why the fuck are they not putting him on TV? Well, maybe he, you know, there's a huge void there that, you know, he really, you know, has a hard time dealing with. Everybody, you know, handles death differently. So, you know, don't rush to judgment and think. Now, if we go through all of 2023 and he doesn't appear on TV and he's wrestling elsewhere and he's wrestling Ring of Honor pay-per-views, you know, then I don't blame people for thinking otherwise. But right now, I think Warner Media definitely change their views about everything. So I don't think you have to worry about that. I really don't. By the way, believe it or not, I still didn't get the fucking tribute shirt. It was shipped out 11 days ago. I don't want to trash pro wrestling tees, but if any of you out there ordered that shirt, if you got tracking information already, then you know what I'm talking about. Pro wrestling tees, instead of using the post office, used some type of a shipping company where you get an extra discounted rate, and they still work through the post office. I don't remember the name of the shipping company. But when I got the tracking, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I Googled it. And then I go on the website, and it's a shipping company in Illinois. And they work with the post office, and you get, like, you know, better rates than through the post office. And I'm like, okay, I understand you cut corners a little bit because you're not going to make any money on the shirts, and you're going to have an unbelievable amount of orders. So, yeah, you want to, you know, cut down on some of your expenses. But Minga, this is 11, 12 days after it's been shipped out, and I haven't gotten it. You know, usually the post office, it ships from Chicago. I get it in 2 to 3 days. Pro Wrestling Tees, what the fuck? Seriously. Well, I mean, you know, if you're going to office something, then, you know, you got to go full blown with it. You don't fucking cut corners because then you're going to get hammered. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to compare it, but, you know, XPW, when I was running the bus trips, when they had that major snowstorm in 2003, I told everybody that, look, if the show gets canceled, I will refund everybody's money. No questions asked. Well, guess what? The motherfuckers canceled the second weekend show, and the bus trip was canceled. I'm literally in Philadelphia. I'm sitting at the announcer's table. It's 11 o'clock at night. And I'm saying to myself, now this is 2003. I'm saying to myself, how the fuck am I going to reach everyone that the bus trip the next day is canceled? I couldn't update my hotline at the announcer's table. I had to wait till the show was over. But I literally drove back to New York, and everybody's okay, where's my money? And that's when that piece of shit Slash pocketed all the money. Rob Black gave Slash the money back for all of the tickets that I paid on behalf of everybody who bought the bus trip. He gave all the money to Slash, and Slash put it in his pocket. Thousands of dollars. I put all that money on my credit card and refunded everyone the next day because I promised everyone that I was going to do it, and I had to do it, no questions asked. That motherfucker never gave me the money back. He got his I got my revenge many years later. But the point is that, you know, if you're going to offer something, you know, you better be prepared to back that shit up no matter what the circumstances are. You start pulling corners because I don't, then don't fucking offer it. Seriously, don't offer it. How much could, even if they saved $2 on the shipping, you know, keep in mind, everyone, we pay top dollar when we ask things shipped from the post from Pro Wrestling Tees. So if we pay $4, $6, whatever it is, you know, if they cut an extra corner, so a dollar, they save a dollar on the shipping. My opinion, 11, 12 days, unacceptable. I let it go because it's a tribute shirt. The money's going to a worthy cause. But I don't know if any of you out there are dealing with that as well. I think by tomorrow I'll probably find it in my mailbox. But if it's not in my mailbox by Wednesday, I'll screenshot everyone my tracking stuff. And shame on Pro Wrestling Tees from using some bullshit budget outside company because, you know, you're overwhelmed with the shipping charges. That no, you should have charged everyone an extra dollar for the shirts and used that dollar towards the shipping charges. That's it. All right. Annie says, I got a question. You can ask it. Ask it and I shall answer it. But you definitely want to type it quite quick because someone else will jump in front of you. Maggie says she thought the same about Mark. People need to not put pressure on him to wrestle right now. He's grieving very, very much. Yeah. You know, when my grandmother died in 1991, who was the closest person in my family, she's the one that got me into wrestling. You know, I went to Atlantic City that night. I went to Atlantic City because I felt guilty that I promised my grandmother for the 2 years leading up to her passing that I was going to take her to Atlantic City, and I never did. So I had this weird feeling inside that I got to go to Atlantic City, I got to get a poker chip, and I got to put it in her casket before they bury her. And I truly, no joke, felt like she was with me in Atlantic City. When I was only there for about 2 hours, but I went and I brought a chip back. I put it in her casket at the wake, and I said we went, and she was buried with it. She was buried with a lot of stuff, scratch off tickets, Hulk Hogan figures. She was a huge Hulkamaniac. But yeah, I mean, people handle deaths a lot different, so there's no time frame for Mark. Annie is asking, do I punch people in the face? No, I did, because in this day and age, I'm too afraid that if I physically hit someone And there's a lot of people that deserve to be hit that I might get arrested over it. And I just don't want to deal with having to pay a lawyer or court cost or anything like that. You know, I have decided, like, even road rage. I mean, a lot of you have seen some of the video from years past. You know, I was in that shopping center and that woman that didn't know how to back up. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I put the dash cam online. And we were going to do a whole series of all these morons that I deal with on the road. Missy Hyatt. A lot of you don't know this story. Missy Hyatt. Yes, Hall of Famer Missy Hyatt lived in my neighborhood for a long, not a long time, but long enough. And I don't know, it was like 10 years ago, maybe. And I'm driving home from work, and there's a bend that I have to go around, like to get to like a corner. And as you go around the bend, there's two lanes that go around the bend at the same time. And when I went around the bend, the car that was to my left was a little bit too sharp. And as we went around, like almost hit my car. And I rolled down the window. I'm like, the fuck is wrong with you? And the person just kept driving. I don't think the person even realized what had happened. The person just kept driving. I looked at the plate. I don't remember if it was Georgia or I don't remember what state it was. But after that, because she was in the neighborhood, you know, I knew what her, you know, her vehicle looked like. I don't want to say what kind of vehicle it was. Then I saw the plate again. I'm like, holy shit. Missy Hyatt almost caused me a car accident. But I never ever talked to her about it. Never ever talked to her about it. But yeah, it's there's a lot of people I would, you know what it is? I would not punch anybody in the face now, but I sure as hell would be entertained to see someone else punch them in the face. You know, I call that karma. I tell people a lot. If somebody does you dirty, don't get revenge. It's not worth it. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Ain't worth it. If that person's a piece of shit, what they did to you, they will do to someone else. And they may end up doing it to someone who doesn't give a shit, who doesn't value their future, and might do something tremendously awful. And I know that sounds morbid and terrible, but that's when you get your enjoyment. And I've told this story many times before. I'll tell it to you very, very quickly because people seem to love every time I tell the story. When Sandy hit, Hurricane Sandy, Superstorm Sandy hit our neighborhood, everybody in our neighborhood got devastated, got leveled. And there was a huge demand for contractors, plumbers, electricians, carpenters. And there was a guy in the neighborhood who was an electrician. And he was doing a lot of repairs, wiring, outlets, fuse boxes, circuit breakers, doing a lot of work for a lot of people. And because he was in such demand, he increased his prices a little bit. I know that sounds terrible during Sandy, but it was what it was. So anyway, he had one customer that he did half the job and then doubled the price because he said, look, I have all these other jobs, this and that, and I have to put three people on your job and this and I have to double the price. And she would not pay the extra price. She stopped paying him completely. He actually put a lien on her house for like $6,000 or $16,000. I don't remember how much it was. It wasn't a lot of money, but he put a lien on her house. He has insurance with me. The customer has insurance with me. Customer's son comes into my office and says he wants to put a bullet through this guy's head. And I told him, I said, you're going to ruin your life. You're going to ruin your mother's life. Your mother's son is going to be in jail for the rest of his life. Don't do it. Now, I'm no, you know, preacher. I'm no counselor. You know, I just gave my opinion. I told him, I said, if he fucked you, he fucked somebody else over also. Let someone else do it. And he never did anything. They ended up resolving their shit. They ended up resolving their stuff. But about 2 years later, we found out that this electrician was in the hospital, critical condition. And the story that was floating around was that he was on a ladder on a telephone pole and somehow fell off the ladder and hit his head against the grass or the floor. And he was in critical condition. And they rushed him to the hospital and they said, he ended up making it, and he's still working today. He's in his 70s now, so I don't know how many years left he's going to be working. But what we found out later on was that he didn't fall off a telephone pole. He's not even a telephone operator. The story was that he fucked with someone, and 2 years later, somebody hit him in the head with a baseball bat. and he knew who it was. And when the, you know, he cops investigated and he's like, no, I was on a telephone pole. Well, why are you on a telephone pole? Because I was fixing a wire, but you're not a telephone. You're not Con Edison. You're not Verizon. Why are you on a telephone pole? Well, you know, this cousin is a, he didn't want to tell the cops. He probably fucked with somebody in the mob, somebody connected or a family member or somebody who was connected. And they hit him in the head with a baseball bat. And believe me when I tell you, my customer, who he screwed 2 years earlier, that customer was ecstatic. Loved every minute of it. Didn't have to do a damn thing and loved it. So that's how I deal with people right now. When somebody really, really does me dirty, you know, I just wait and usually hope that someone else gets their revenge on them. And I just sit back and I laugh and I enjoy myself, so. Roderick Howard, what's next for Toxic Attraction? Do they officially separate or reconcile and chase Fallon and Kiana for the tag titles? I don't know if they face Fallon or Kiana, but Toxic Attraction has done almost everything. You don't want them to overstay their welcome in NXT. I think Toxic Attraction is pretty close to being ready to be promoted to the main roster. Either one of two things is going to happen. Gigi Dolan will go on to be a single star, or they will reconcile. In my opinion, they reconcile. And the reason why they reconcile is because the women's tag team division on the main roster right now is not very strong. Sky and Kai are great, but outside of that, they're mostly makeshift tag teams. So you bring Carter and Chance to the main roster, you bring Toxic Attraction to the main roster, there's two sets of tag teams that actually could do a little bit. And I think it would be really interesting. So I think Toxic Attraction, maybe they tease that they're still angry at each other, but I think they reconcile. I think right now, even if Gigi Dolan was to be pushed as a single star, you bring it to the main roster, there are too many other women that are going to leapfrog her. They're already in front of her. How is Gigi Dolan going to overtake all of these women on the main roster? From Raquel Rodriguez to Liv Morgan, and I'm leaving out all of the top contenders from Becky Lynch to Bayley and others. Asuka, how does she leapfrog them? She doesn't. So I think the better path to the main roster is they stay as a tag team. So Charlie's saying, how do I get revenge? Well, I didn't directly get revenge because if I did, I'd still get arrested. It's called an accessory, you know, to a crime. I get revenge that that person got fucked. The guy in XPW that ripped me off, that guy got the ultimate revenge because when he started doing shows in my neighborhood, a boatload of people, and I'm not making this up, this sounds ridiculous to some people. I had so many people call my wrestling hotline at the time and said, hey, DT, you know, just to let you know that, you know, I never forgot what you did for me. You gave me my money back. I ain't going to that guy's show. Nobody would promote it. Everybody called him a slime piece of shit. He spent $30,000 and had less than 100 people at his show. That's how you get revenge. You let everybody else know what that person did. And, you know, people, if they truly have your back, you know, they have your back no matter what. It's called karma. Karma is revenge. You don't have to be responsible for the karma, but karma is revenge. Here, I'll give you one other one. A lot of you know this story too. Several years ago, I'm driving down Metropolitan Avenue. One road this way, one road this way. And there was a car behind me. It was in the morning. Car behind me. It was tailgating me. I don't like that shit. And you know, I don't like putting my foot on the brake because I'm afraid that somebody might just run into the back of my car. So a little trick for everyone out there. If somebody's tailgating you, you want to kind of hit your brakes to try to push them back a little bit. You don't have to do that. Turn your headlights on and off for a second. Because when you turn your headlights on, your backlights go on as well. The person behind you will think that you stepped on the brakes and you didn't. So, you know, I didn't want to hit the brakes because this person was awfully close to my vehicle. And this person's trying to, like, pass me up and everything. And I'm going pretty fast already. And every time this car wanted to go around me, a car was coming the other way. So they couldn't. And I was looking in my rearview mirror. I'm like, fuck's your problem? So finally, after about 4 or 5 blocks, there's an opening. And this woman goes around me. And as she's going around me, she's like, fuck you. And she races down Metropolitan Avenue. Well, somebody was pulling out of CVS's parking lot at the same time, and she drove down the thing, and all of a sudden, I saw from like 5-6 blocks up, I see, boom, car pulls out of a parking lot and hits her, and her car is fucked. So I get up there 4-5 blocks up, and I see her on the side, and I said, are you all right? And she's looking at me, she's like this. I'm like, good, fuck you, and I just kept driving. That's revenge without doing nothing. That's karma. That's karma. Did I feel bad for her? No, no. You're an asshole. You deserve it. You deserve it. Actually, back then, I wish I had that on my soundtrack. I'd be like, one second, crank up, because I got a booming system in my car. I'd have 500 watts going, you deserve it. You deserve it. That's karma. That's awesome. Charlie, if you're saying I told you this before, then you should already know the answer. All right. Believe it or not, we've already gone 66 minutes. So let's start bringing this home. Let's stick around for like another 10 minutes. I don't want to overload it. We had some tremendous conversation already. And I don't want to overstay my welcome, especially for this weekend. So let's answer a couple more questions. You know, nothing that requires too many brain cells being used, and we'll get out of here. Cerebral 619, if I could set up the debut of an upcoming wrestler, how would I do it? Depends on who the wrestler is. Depends on what company I'm talking about. If you're just talking about in general, night after WrestleMania. Night after WrestleMania. That's the easiest way to do it. Especially someone from NXT, someone that's been off TV for a while. You know, Randy Orton's a good example. If I was WWE and Randy Orton is ready to come back, let him come back the night after WrestleMania. No need to be at WrestleMania. Yeah, he misses WrestleMania, but you know what? He's been out of action for so long, he's not involved in the storylines. That's what I would do. I think that's the best scenario. You know, as far as like how do you bring someone or debut someone, it depends on, you know, who their character is. You know, are they a heavyweight, a cruiserweight, what company it is? There's so many different ways. You could have somebody in a talking segment. You could have somebody just simply like show up in the back. So there's so many different scenarios. So Rams fan cannot come up with a question tonight. It's all good. We got plenty of other shows. Wombology, do I feel like Cross versus Gunther will help or hurt Cross? I don't think it'll do either. I think if Cross takes a beating, I think fans will respect the beating and that he went toe-to-toe with Cross. Cross, I've been saying this for about a month now. Cross needs to feud with a heel. He needs to interact with someone that annoys us. He needs to, he's not a baby face. But I think if Cross were the fuck with like a Baron Corbin or an Austin Theory or somebody else, I think if he gets into it with not just a heel, but someone that annoys us, I think that'll help him get over a little bit more. He's doing a fine job. The problem is he hasn't clicked with fans yet. And sometimes just simply shutting someone up that people don't want to see or hear or just want to see shut up, I think that would be good enough. I think that would be good enough. Run DMG saying, Billy Gunn heel turn? Oh, yeah, I think he's helping the Gun Club win the titles on Wednesday. You know, you look at the Acclaimed. I mean, they're trying to position, what, Private Party? They're trying to position some other young teams, you know, to vie for the tag team titles. And I almost feel like they got to put it on a heel team for a little while. I think the Gun Club may get assistance from their dad. And I think, listen, if you remember when Billy Gunn first aligned with the Acclaimed, a lot of us were scratching our heads. Like, why does this, and it, look what happened, scissor me daddy ass. Billy Gunn has helped the Acclaimed so much. At some point, Billy Gunn and AEW's got to be like, okay, Acclaimed, now you got to do this yourself. It's time. And I think this might be the time where Billy Gunn goes back to his sons, and maybe Billy Gunn could help his sons get to that next level. Because I don't think a lot of people are still buying in to the Gunns as being like legitimate tag team champions right now. They feel like they got way too much to grow still. But Billy Gunn could help them get over the top. So that's where I think it's going to go. We'll see. Blah, blah, blah. Chris Segovia, DT, who do I think? Who would I have for Dragon Lee's first feud in NXT when he makes his debut? Wesley. Wesley is so good. That guy could feud with cruiserweights. He could feud with big men like Dijak. But Dijak is a special kind of person. You know, remember his feud with Keith Lee? Need I say more? I think Wesley or Axiom would be another one. Axiom, Wesley. It really, Lee versus, wait, Wesley versus, hold on a second. Are they keeping his same name? Are they keeping his same name for the main roster? I mean, for NXT? I don't know, but I think Wesley is the right opponent. I think so. Lee versus Lee. Lee versus Lee. Could we get a Lee to referee it? Not Keith Lee. Could you imagine Keith Lee as a referee? Imagine if you like go down. Imagine if you do all those reversals with the pins. I mean, imagine how long it would take. With all due respect, I love Keith Lee, but yeah, no. Yeah, Phil, we talked about Dijak's finger earlier. You know, hopefully it's not as bad as it looked. You know, I did say on his page yesterday that I've always wanted to do that to somebody's finger who road rages me and pulls the bird on me. Because I've had a lot of people over the years that will say to me, just like I told the story earlier, fuck you. I mean, I've had a lot of people with road rage. I just want to grab that finger and just fucking twist it. Twist it like a bottle cap. That's what Dijak's finger looked like yesterday. Mike Lee, do I see Swerve being a main eventer in AEW? No, I don't. I don't. I know a lot of you are like, DT, what the fuck are you talking about? Swerve is... can be a main eventer. Swerve is special. Swerve is able to be a main eventer. AEW ain't fucking main eventing. Swerve, maybe on an episode of Dynamite, because we've had, you know, a lot of people main event the Dynamite that had no business doing it. I just don't see AEW pulling that. No, I don't see it. I would be shocked to shit. There, listen, I will do a fucking massive contest on this show if Swerve Strickland closes out a pay-per-view in AEW for 2023. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. I mean, that guy's been on fire for so long. Does it truly feel like they have the Jets behind them? Dustin Rhodes, Brian Pillman Jr., Keith Lee, a couple of months ago, you know, the fucking guy, I don't remember his name, the rapper. Like, you look, it's two months gone by. Do you feel like Swerve is vying for one of those 39 titles? I don't see AEW doing that, even though I think he is worthy. Please do not misconstrue what I'm saying. Swerve Strickland is worthy, if pushed to main event status. It ain't happening. SoFly, happy 23 months being a channel member. That is awesome, man. Much love. 2 fucking years. Pretty cool, man. Pretty cool. And you're an elite channel member as well. Thank you. Thank you. Kevin Milwaukee. I think we'll do 3 more questions and we're going to call it. Here is his. In 1991, the British Bulldog faced off with the Warlord in every single pay-per-view of that year. Why do I think that was? Personally, never heard of that happening before or after. Well, in 1991, they didn't have as many pay-per-views as we have now. They just wanted Bulldog featured on a pay-per-view. And Bulldog in 91, I don't recall him really being the focal point of anything tremendously major as far as storylines go. So, listen, you know, I could tell you back in WCW, when it, especially with the Luchadors in 1995, 1996, you would have 2 wrestlers face each other on numerous pay-per-views. It might be an opening match. It might be one of the curtain jerkers. But, yeah, putting Warlord and British Bulldog, they had good chemistry. Bulldog was bigger, too. This is not 1985 British Bulldog. So they were big men, behemoths, and Vince McMahon was very, very big into the big men at that time, larger than life. And, you know, you don't break what's not broken. And it was an easy go-to match. Now, to be honest with you, none of their matches really stick out to me like, oh, shit, I remember this, I remember this, I remember that. I don't. But, you know, when you're figuring out a card, yeah. Yeah, you could see two people going at it. I mean, it's happened. But, again, there was nowhere near the number of pay-per-views they have now. They face each other 12 times in a year or 10 times in a year on pay-per-views. That's different. But, yeah, it was just something that, you know, they just, you know, put them together. That's fine. That's it wasn't a big deal. But pretty cool. Pretty cool to, you know, pick up on that. The Bep Jr., what does Liv Morgan do now? Singles or back to tag team? She's got to stay at singles. I mean, I always wanted to see the team of Liv Morgan and Alexa Bliss go further. And obviously, we didn't get it as far as we wanted. And I wouldn't mind seeing them reform. But Liv Morgan, I think you got to keep as a singles. Liv Morgan, you could put on a house show and be one of the closing matches on the card. She has a huge... I still find it so cute of those people online that were convincing us that she was turning heel and the fans were fed up with her. And this, and remember her match with Ronda Rousey because she tapped out? Like, people online like tried to convince everyone, like, no, 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 she's turning heel. The fans are fed up with her. They're trying to do that with Cody right now. I mean, it's this awful dynamic that's going on online right now. Liv Morgan, I think you leave her as a singles. There's many women that she can feud with, and she's such an easy fill on a health show. Fans look forward to seeing Liv Morgan. You can put her in a tag team whenever you want, but I think Liv Morgan, you focus her as a single star. You want to, when you think of Liv Morgan, you don't want to immediately think of a tag team. And that's why I think you keep her a single. So, all right. Let's do one more and let's get out of here. So, Charlie, if you're asking me from like a month ago when I said my car smelled like weed, there's vents in everybody's cars, and when you drive by, it takes the air from the outside and it circulates it and filters it into your car. And when you drive on the highway and people are smoking weed in front of you, that air gets into your exhaust or your front of your car, the air duct system, and your car smells like weed. And that's happened to me numerous times. My car smells, I'm like, wow, whatever they're smoking in front of me, it smells good. But, you know, at the same time, you're like shitting bricks, like, oh, this motherfucker in front of me is stoned. So, all right, let's make the last question a good one. Let's make it a good one. They didn't, you know, Bulldog and Wallow didn't have great chemistry, but because, you know, it wasn't just pay-per-views in 91, they did a lot of house shows together. So, you know, rinse, repeat. You know, that it just rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. And when you are almost married to someone, as they would call it, when you're married to someone on the house show circuit, you know, and you find things that you know the fans are going to click to, you know, Bulldog climbs the top rope and flexes, the crowd pops, Warlord, you know, they boo. You pick up on things and you just keep going with it. And it was an easy fill. So, all right, so I think we're going to jet out of here. So, yeah, we're going to jet out of here. So, but I want to thank everybody for joining me. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. Here it was a little crazy. This week is a little nuts. I am bird sitting once again. My parents are in Florida for some business stuff. And I'm dealing now with my African gray who started plucking. If any of you have ever had a parrot who plucks, you know what I'm talking about. And I don't know if it's because he's itchy or he's just bored or depressed or he's just, you know, in pain because he's old. He's what, 28 years old? So, you know, now I'm like spraying him every 2 hours with aloe vera and water and stuff to just try to keep him moist where he doesn't want to pick. So that's been kind of draining this weekend. So, but yeah, I'm going to get out of here. So if you're around Monday night after Raw, I will be here live. We'll recap Raw. We're going to pretty much just stay focused on Raw so we have an easy, you know, filled show. Nothing too much. I don't want to overload with 95 topics from now on. We have so many shows during the week that we could spread it out really, really nicely. And Tuesday, I will post the next episode of This Week in Wrestling History. This one coming up is fucking spectacular. Monday, I have a photo preview of what's in store for Tuesday. And I think this week it runs almost 4 hours again. So this week in wrestling history is a good one to reminisce. A lot of audio clips. So I appreciate everyone who's enjoying them for the first time or maybe for the first time in a long time. And that will be uploaded Tuesday. And if you haven't done so already, like I said, you know, check out my conversation with Misha Montana. We had that yesterday or the day before. Very, very cool. And don't forget Saturday's Don Tony show. You know, we had a lot of fun with that Bloomberg Business Week article on Tony Khan. You know, I think my title said it perfectly. They embarrassed Tony Khan. That guy embarrassed Tony Khan. Especially when you start thinking about how they were unable to get a TV deal for Ring of Honor, the CM Punk controversy, you know, ratings down a certain percentage from a year ago. Look, looking forward to 2023, absolutely looks bright for AEW, but you look at it, and that was probably about 15 minutes of reading that led to nowhere, that just led to nowhere. You know what it felt like? I should have said this yesterday, but I thought about it today. I'm starting to learn about this chat GDP or DDP thing, GPT, right? Chat GPT. I'm almost convinced this motherfucker did it through chat GPT because some of the thing he was writing, like what's an AEW fan? Like I could almost imagine him saying, chat GPT, what is an AEW fan? And it almost feels like that was put through that chat GPT program. And I'm not even saying it to be funny. I think that motherfucker actually ran it through that program and cut and paste a lot of stuff. No joke, man. So go check out that book. Check out our recap of it. I'll save you the pain. Be well, everyone. Have a good one. And I hope to see you tomorrow night on Raw. If you enjoyed today's show, you know what to do. And I thank you as always for the support. Ciao.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.